And so to those killer robots.
In terms of technology, the last place you want to put a robot is on the battlefield. It's the most uncertain adversarial environment. There's a good reason that robots turned up in factories to begin with, in car factories and like, it's because that's a controlled environment. We can control who goes in there. We can control exactly everything going on. And no one's trying to work against us. The last place, if you ask one of my robotic colleagues, that we want to put an autonomous system is in the battlefield, where people are trying to kill you and your opponent is trying to fool you all the time. It's the most uncertain place, and we have a long way to go before we could build systems that would reliably be able to distinguish between combatant and civilian, that would be able to act proportionally. These are things that we don't have answers to today, and it's not clear to me we will ever adequately be able to meet the standard of international humanitarian law.
Toby Walsh from the University of New South Wales, who led a press conference on killer robots and made clear what exactly they mean by that startling description.
The last few years, I've become, like many of my colleagues, very concerned about how the technology can be misused. Like most technologies, it can be used for good or for bad. There's plentiful good things it can be used in the military context. Clearing minefields, perfect job for a robot. But equally, I and my colleagues are very concerned that we will hand over decisions to machines as to who lives and who dies, and that would be a disastrous turn for humanity. So, before there's any confusion, before you start searching for that image of Terminator, we are not talking about Terminator. We're talking about much simpler technologies that are at best a few years away. In fact, many of which you can see under development today in every theater of the war. In the air, autonomous drones. On the sea, autonomous ships that can cross the Pacific, like the US Navy's first fully autonomous ship, the Sea Hunter, which just completed its first fully autonomous voyage. It's also very timely because this week we saw the US Department of Defense release its AI strategy. It's one of the four focuses of that. There are arguments to be had for autonomous weapons. Perhaps they might reduce collateral damage. Perhaps we will get soldiers out of harm's way. But those arguments don't hold up to much scrutiny. And there are many more arguments against the use of autonomous weapons, that they will change the speed and duration of warfare, called rightly so the third revolution in warfare, that it will reduce the barriers to conflict, that they will increase the already delicate geopolitical situation, upset the current balance of power that we see between militaries. And also fundamental moral ethical issues, that they will cross a red line if we hand these decisions to machines, because machines do not have the moral capability today, or I suspect ever, be able to take these sorts of decisions. 4 years ago, I was sufficiently concerned that we organized an open letter to the United Nations that was signed by thousands of my colleagues, that was probably reported by many of your news organizations. We warned then of an arms race. You can see that arms race is already starting to take place between nations by arms companies around the world. We warned that this technology would be easy to produce. And tomorrow, I will also be making an announcement that we'll be launching the world's first killer drone hackathon. I'll be inviting members of the public to explore how easy it will be to build such technology in the very near future. We'll be running an observational experiment. At the end of this hackathon, I expect the participants will have become more concerned than they already are about lethal autonomous weapons. And so I just want to end by quoting the words of Antonio Guterres, the UN Secretary General, as he opened the General Assembly at the end of last year. Let's call it as it is. The prospect of weapons with the discretion and power to take human life is morally repugnant. Thank you.
Thanks, Toby. I'm Mary Wareham from Human Rights Watch. And in 2012, Human Rights Watch issued its first report on this topic of what we called killer robots. I just wanted to say that it is the scientists, the roboticists, the artificial intelligence experts who first raised the alarm on this challenge, and then came to speak with us at Human Rights Watch and other groups about what we could do. And we decided it was better to cooperate together and form a coalition so that we could have a coordinated movement to push for new international law to preemptively ban fully autonomous weapons. And a preemptive ban means that we're talking about future weapon systems rather than trying to prohibit today's armed drones. Toby's given you lots of examples of autonomy that exists in certain weapon systems today. We're concerned about retaining meaningful human control over the selection and attack of targets and the use of force more generally. This is where the debate is at in Geneva, where governments have been talking about this for the last 6 years. So the campaign is now comprised of 93 non-governmental organizations in 53 countries. We're growing very rapidly around the world. Our objective is to have a true movement here. We've picked up serious support in the last year from the tech workers out in California. 28 countries support the call for a ban. Virtually all countries who've spoken on this topic affirm the importance of human control. So that's the touch point that everybody is focusing on. The diplomacy has been failing. What we're doing in the campaign is focusing our efforts at the national level, and we'll be in Berlin next month, hopefully to talk to the foreign minister who's very concerned about this particular weapon system and the future of arms control. Some statistics that we issued last month in a 26-country survey, we wanted to return to a question that was asked 2 years ago and see if public views on this challenge are changing. And we found that they certainly are changing. The public is becoming more opposed to the prospect of a weapon system that would remove human control. That was across the board and including here in the United States. Opposition was strong for both men and for women, although it was men who were more likely to favor these weapon systems compared to women. We also asked a follow-up question this time to the ones who said that they were opposed. We asked why and gave some examples. Two-thirds answered that lethal autonomous weapon systems would cross a moral line because machines should not be allowed to kill. And then more than half also expressed concern that such weapon systems would be unaccountable. So those are a couple more of the objections that are being raised to fully autonomous weapons. And the story hasn't ended yet. We don't know how it will end. We hope that it will end with an international treaty that provides guidance as the norm, stigmatizing the removal of human from the selection and attack process of weapon systems, or the gates will open and we'll see proliferation, destabilizing incidents from our experts. It's just a bad situation all round if we don't get this new international law now. So thank you.
Thanks very much. Ivan Semenek with the Globe and Mail in Canada. I was going to ask you who you see as your opponents in this effort.
Depends if you want to pick nation states or you want to pick the undoubtable large sums of money that arms companies are going to be making selling the next generation of weapons.
Russia was the problem last November. The United States also is vehemently opposed to moving to negotiate new international law. Israel and South Korea, who are also developing robotic systems, have not been very helpful at the UN, and neither has Australia.
Robin Williams from the ABC in Australia. You've identified who might be for, but why are they for? Why do they want to keep them? What's the point?
So what they're looking for is a strategic advantage over competitors. And they think they will have an advantage over their neighbours or competitors.
Killer robots are the AAAS. And you heard Professor Peter Azzaro from New York, Mary Wareham from the Campaign to Stop Killer Robots, Washington, D.C., and Toby Walsh from the University of New South Wales. And I see in yesterday's newspaper that our Defence Department has launched a $9 million study to examine the prospects of robots in war, and the University of New South Wales will be a centre for the research. More from AAAS next week, and I shall talk to Nobel laureate David Baltimore about AIDS and Trump. The Science Show is produced by David Fisher and Joe Wallace. I'm Robin Williams.